Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Family photographs are some of our most treasured possessions, whether it's old shoeboxes full of photos, albums from across the decades, frames hanging around the house. We surround ourselves with photos as a connection to the past. With the advent of digital photography, sometimes these photos reside on our computers or phones or even in the cloud. Joining me to talk about how to preserve and protect your family photographs are two archivists from the Johns Hopkins Sheridan Library Special Collections, Elizabeth England and Jim Stimpert. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you.
Jim, your specialty is preserving physical photographs. How many photos do you oversee at Hopkins?
We have a collection of over 16,000 historical images, each of which documents Hopkins in some fashion. People, places, events, going back to the 1800s and as recent as just a few years ago.
Wow. What's the oldest?
The oldest probably is a photograph of our founding president, Daniel Coit Gilman, from the, I believe, 1860s.
So you know a lot about preservation. Damage to physical photographs can come from light or water or even the oils in our hands. If photos have been stored in an album for the past couple decades, is it better just to leave them be?
It's better to remove them from an album, especially if it's an album that's many years old or many decades old, because in earlier decades, people were not using acid-free paper materials. Acid is present in most paper from the early 20th century and late 19th century, and it destroys the paper from within. And if the albums are made of this kind of paper, they're going to be deteriorating, they're going to be becoming brittle, and they will be damaging the photographs which are in contact with them.
So how would I do that? How would I be sure I'm not damaging the photo as I try to put it into a better place?
That is the problem. If someone used something like rubber cement to attach the images to the album, that is very difficult to remove because rubber cement is probably the worst adhesive ever devised. if they're somewhat more modern albums, they used to use these so-called magnetic albums or wax-based paper that the photographs would adhere to and not slide around. Those is usually easier to remove them from, but it can still be difficult depending on the storage conditions. If they were stored at higher temperatures, the wax might melt a little bit onto the photograph and adhere the photograph to the page in a way that makes it much more difficult to remove. Another issue is the plastic pages, which are usually used to cover the photographs. Most cheap photo albums use something called vinyl, which is polyvinyl chloride. As PVC deteriorates or ages, it releases hydrochloric acid and chlorine gas, neither of which are good for photographs. And they will not harm individuals because the concentrations are far too low to be of any danger to humans. But in contact with photographs for years or decades, they will definitely harm the image.
So I would think, especially thinking of the rubber cement that you told us about, that if you're going to do it, you just need to move really slowly to make sure you're not tearing
usually
something?
Use something like a table knife even, or a scalpel, or some sort of prying device where you can gently remove the image from the backing a little bit at a time. If you just try to pick it up and tear it off, chances are you'll tear the image. But if you work at it slowly and gradually, you can usually get it off so that it is still in good shape.
How does light damage photos?
Despite the fact that photography means painting with light, light damages images because the images themselves, the emulsions that are used, are sensitive to light. And a photograph that's been hanging on a wall for years in bright sunlight, chances are it will have faded over the years. And there's nothing much you can do about the image itself. You can't restore that. However, if you scan it and use digital imaging tools, you can restore it in some fashion to how it might have looked in the beginning. The best storage for photographs really is dark storage. And the The longer you keep it in dark storage, the longer it will last. Obviously, you want to show photographs to people. You want to have them available. So one thing that you can do nowadays is scan the image and put a printed version of the scan in a frame, put it on a wall, and then you still have the original, and you have the digital scan that was created, and you can then replace it again if necessary a few years later.
If you're going to have a photo framed, are there ways to upgrade it to reduce deterioration?
Yes. Photographs nowadays, most framers will use high-quality materials. So you can be reasonably assured that a photograph that was framed by someone who knew what he was doing, he or she knew what they were doing in recent years, it's going to be in good condition. Photographs that were framed 50, 75 years ago, you don't know that. And again, chances are because the papers that we used then are probably not of good quality. It's best to remove the image from the frame, even if it looks very nice on the outside. Remove from the frame. Again, scan it. If you want to display something in the same frame, have it printed again, put it back in the frame, but this time use better quality mats and backing materials.
I'm thinking of this fabulous photograph of my grandfather that I never thought to worry about because it's in a wonderful frame. Thank you. I'm going to go right home and deal with this. You also recommend making digital backups so people can potentially restore photos.
Yes. Technology has progressed quite a bit in recent years. Who knows what it will be like 10, 15, 20 years from now. Undoubtedly, there will be new processes, new ways of extracting information, which is why I always advocate keeping the original image, because maybe there'll be a device in 20 years that can scan it better than what we can do now.
That's Jim Stimpert, Senior Reference Archivist for the Johns Hopkins University Sheridan Library Special Collections, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about taking steps to preserve your photos so they last for years to come. And you've led us perfectly to Elizabeth England, our other guest. Your specialty is digital preservation. Organizing digital photos can seem like a monumental chore, especially with files on different devices in different formats. In terms of labeling files, let's start there. What do you recommend?
So for labeling files, you can do it at the individual file level, or you can also do it at a broader level, such as for a folder of all your images from a particular vacation. Whether it's the folder name or the individual file names, there's a few things I recommend. You want to be descriptive, but not too lengthy. Maybe around 30 characters is a good limit.
30 characters, okay.
Because a full file path can be very many characters, starting with my computer, my documents, my photos, etc. And different computers have different operating systems have different limits on lengths. So keep it descriptive but brief. I recommend only using letters, numbers, dashes, or underscores. You want to stay away from other special characters such as spaces or periods because computers don't read those the same way that humans do.
But dashes or underscores?
Those are generally accepted as fine.
Is it useful to include dates?
It can be. When you open a file to view it, if you resave it, that can alter the embedded information about the creation date. So you do want to be careful, and it can help to have that in the file name. Or also, what I recommend is using a separate inventory of your files, having a spreadsheet or even on paper where you can record more information instead of trying to cram it all into the file name.
Ah, okay. And keep that digital directory in the same place where you're keeping these digital photos?
Well, with everything, I recommend having more than one copy. So I would store it alongside, and I would also keep it in another place as a backup.
And keep it on paper, too.
if you're so inclined.
What file formats make the most sense?
So this is a tricky question, and unfortunately, there is no perfect answer. In general, you want to use formats that are more widely accepted and are non-proprietary, such as JPEG or TIFF are two good examples. If you own a Nikon digital camera, for example, the files that it creates will be proprietary Nikon NEF files. If Nikon stops supporting that format, you would possibly be out of luck. So if you gravitate towards formats that are maintained by larger standards organizations and are widely used and documented, your files should be readable for a longer time.
But that gets us to, at least it gets me to thinking, we don't really know what kinds of technology will be available 50 years from now. So how does that affect how you archive digital photos?
That is a major concern for archivists, and there isn't a perfect solution. I think it's largely about minimizing risk, and in order to do that, you sort of have to have an exit strategy. So knowing that you're in a file format that you're still able to migrate out of should something else come along. Or another example is with your storage technologies. A lot of people in the early 2000s were putting their files on gold DVDs. This was being marketed as archival quality that will last 300 years. And in my work, I found that many gold DVDs haven't even made it a decade, and the files on them are no longer readable. So many laptops now don't even have optical disk drives. So if you're shopping, if you're in the market for a new laptop, make sure you get your content off of those devices before you end up with a device where you can no longer read the content that's on this storage medium. That's called hardware obsolescence.
Lots of people turn to cloud storage to save space on their devices. Is it safe enough to use for archiving photos?
You wouldn't want to use the cloud as your only storage option. There is the saying LOCKS, which is lots of copies keep stuff safe.
Lots of copies keep stuff safe.
Yes. It came out of Stanford from a project they did there under the same name. And the cloud is great to use as one of your options, especially because it will likely be stored in a different The servers for the cloud will be stored in a different geographic location than where you're keeping your own copy on your laptop. So diversifying your geographic locations is a good idea. And I would not have the cloud be your only storage option. I would also encourage people to keep one copy, at least one copy, in their possession.
It is so easy to take 20 photos of the same thing when you're using your phone on a vacation, something like that. What's your advice when it comes to building an archive?
How we capture photos has changed a lot with the transition from analog to digital. I think people are, we're all a little click happy and less aware of the financial and environmental costs of digital storage. But I would encourage people to not save everything. It becomes more to manage, and it's just more to sort through when you're trying to enjoy these memories that you captured. I have found, for me personally, it becomes a lot to go through later when I've taken 20 versions of the same picture of my cat. But if I try to do it in the immediate and am constantly narrowing down my images on an ongoing basis.
So do it right when you get home from the trip, not like, say, I'll do this in a couple months. Do it now.
Or even if I'm on vacation and I have, you know, I'm just relaxing back in my hotel room, I do it then. I really try to do it in the moment so it doesn't become a mounting problem.
Jim, let me pull you back into the conversation. Elizabeth just mentioned sort of a transition from physical photos to digital. How does that affect what you do?
It's a whole different ballgame now with images. How do you capture? We have boxes and folders in boxes full of photographs, all of which document the university. And they're easy to go to a shelf. They're arranged in alphabetical order by subject. You go to the shelf, you pull a box out, you pull a folder out, there's a photograph. It's a little bit different, if not more difficult, to access digital images because you don't have a box you can pull off a shelf and a folder that you can look in. You have to sort through using a computer, using some sort of image sorting program, image viewing program, something that will let you compare one image with another, which if they were in an original paper print, you could just hold them side by side and look at them, whereas you have to identify, okay, let's compare these two, but it's just a different workflow to arrive at that point.
But that's where we are.
That's where we are.
I'm really grateful to you both for this conversation. Thank you.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Jim Stimpert is Senior Reference Archivist for the Johns Hopkins University Sheridan Library Special Collections. Elizabeth England is Digital Processing Archivist for the Special Collections. They'll be leading an event on caring for family photographs next Saturday, January 13th, at the Homewood Museum at Johns Hopkins University. We have a link to more information at the On the Record page at wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Quick break now on the record, and then a Stoop story.